Have you ever felt like you were just going as hard as you can and trying not to show it? You know that feeling? Just for all you're worth. You know, I love watching swans on the lake. They are just the picture of grace and ease as they glide almost without a ripple across the surface of the water. Elegant. But if you could go below the surface of this elegance, you would see sometimes those web feet just churning as hard as they could to go where they were wanting to go. And if that somehow describes your life, you can appreciate what I'm talking about. You know, it seems to me that as a congregation, we've been living through a time like that. We've been dealing with tremendous change in this congregation for the last 2.5 years. It started with major road reconstruction and different utilities and infrastructure changes going on. And we have then had neighbors who have moved in and built businesses, Portillo's to this side of us. Am I pointing right? Is Portillo's over here? Okay. When I go outside, I can always tell, I can smell where it comes from. Portillo's on this side of this, and Topgolf over there, and IKEA back there, and right across the street of what used to be Oak Street, which is now IKEA Way, change. They have torn down an entire neighborhood, carted away in heavy equipment and dump trucks, and they've broken ground now for a mixed-use development. And it won't be long before Riverview Health Services is going to build right across 116th an emergency services building. Change all around us. In the midst of all that, I feel like we've been swans on the lake, just doing a good job of gliding across the surface. But if you look underneath, those web feet are just moving for all they're worth. I think we've done a pretty good job of it, too. And I credit you for that, and the leaders of our church for that, and especially God for that. But if we're going to be paddling anyway, we ought to make sure we're paddling in a direction that matters. Would you agree? Well, this morning we're starting a new preaching series. We're working through the book of Acts, and we're doing it against all the experts' advice. We're having it a 7-week series. You don't do 7-week series. You know, 6 is on the outlying edge of it. 4 is more the usual. You go past 4, and it's got to be an even number, but this is 7, a 7-week series. Talking about what we've been talking about all year long, and that's about simplifying, identifying, cutting away everything else to get to the core. As we look through the book of Acts to talk about what it means simply to be the church. We're going to use words along the way to guide our conversation. In fact, you might even be able to say we're doing this Sesame Street style. The sermon today is brought to you by the letter P. You know, in fact, every single week of the series, we brought to you by the letter P. And today we talk about purpose. Purpose is a powerful thing. It gives us a sense of who we are and how to live and direction in our lives. Everything has purpose. Every created thing has purpose, including each of us today. Trees have purpose. They take in carbon dioxide. They release oxygen, and that's a good thing for us. Their root systems help keep soil erosion down. They are homes for insects and birds and other creatures. They even build our homes. Although I've seen now they've made a few little homes out of 3D printed materials, but most of us use wood still to build our homes. Insects and other creepy crawlies have purpose. They exist to eat lower forms on the food chain and to become food for higher forms on the food chain. And those insects and creepy crawlies have power. If you doubt that, just find yourself locked into your bedroom one night with one gnat or one mosquito. Organizations are created for a purpose. They are built to achieve that purpose, some more effectively than others. Even we as humans have purpose. We're the top of the food chain. We are apex predators. There is no natural enemy for us, except you got to watch out for polar bears and killer whales. But our purpose goes far beyond the purpose of all of the creatures. If only we can identify that defining purpose and keep our focus clear. Understanding clearly what our purpose is, keeping that focus clearly upon that, even to the elimination of the distractions, is the key. Unfortunately, most mission statements are fuzzy and vague, unfocused. Companies or nations that have lost sight of their purpose have paid the price of irrelevance, and sometimes even paid the price of failure and collapse. And that's true for the church, too. If we don't identify clearly what our purpose is, then we run the risk of becoming irrelevant. If we don't identify clearly what our purpose is, then we become a shadow of ourselves and unable to accomplish that thing for which we have been created by Jesus Christ in the book of Acts. Are you familiar with the famous dog sled race called the Iditarod? You know, every year there are contestants, there are riders, or they call them mushers, and their teams of dogs that pull sleds, and they go from over 1,000 miles from Anchorage to Nome. It's an amazing thing to see. But it didn't begin as a sporting competition. It began because in 1925 there was an outbreak of diphtheria, and at that time there were no mass productions of serum and vaccinations, and the children in Nome had taken ill with diphtheria and were dying. The nearest supply of serum was in Anchorage, well over 1,000 miles away, but they couldn't get it there soon enough. They began the journey of these 300,000 vials of serum, putting it on a train to go as far as Nanana, and then from there they had positioned strategically along the way different dog sled teams that would run it in terms of a relay, just wear themselves out completely like the old Pony Express, and then take the next run, the next run, the next run. And they went over over 1,000 miles in 127 hours. It became known as the Great Race of Compassion. Oh no, Great Race of Mercy. And today, as it continues as a sport, they still have mushers and they still have dog teams hooked to sleds, and they still take that same route of over 1,000 miles, but nobody's matched that speed record. And now it no longer does what it was intended to do in the creation of it. There is no life-saving purpose. It's just another sporting event. Or maybe an example that's a little closer to home as the church. Charles Kahn tells about a time when he was living in Atlanta years ago when he was looking through the Yellow Pages. That tells you how long ago it was. Most of us don't even have Yellow Pages anymore, unless you use them for children's seats to put up on, you know, and they get a little higher at the table. Looking through the Yellow Pages into the restaurant section to see what was available around him, and he came across a restaurant with a very strange name. It said the Church of God Grill. And that piqued his curiosity, so he called the number, and the guy answered very cheerily, "Hello, Church of God Grill." And he asked him, "Can you explain to me your name? I've been so curious about it." He said, "Well, yeah, we began by having a little mission church downtown. We preached to the street people. And to help pay the bills, we began selling chicken dinners. And the people liked our chicken dinners so much, we began selling more of them, and we cut back on our church services to do it. Until finally, we just let go of the whole church thing, and we became a restaurant, and we kept the original name, Church of God Grill." It seems to me that if we lose focus on the purpose, we run the risk of being a shadow of our former selves, becoming irrelevant, without the power to make a change that is life transforming. Well, in the book of Acts, we see this whole thing of this church being birthed with the day of Pentecost. And you know that story, and I don't want to read it for you this morning, but it's the day that when God sent his Holy Spirit and power onto the apostles, and they began to preach to people of every nation that was gathered there. They all heard the news in their own languages, and the Holy Spirit fell in power, and people were repenting, and they were saved, and they were healed, and the church began in earnest. And in that same section of the book of Acts, we find our single verse for this morning. Noah, will you put it up for us? This is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is, you know, some days we read scripture to you for 4 or 5 minutes long. Well, we're letting you get off the hook this morning. Here's our whole scripture today. "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That one single verse, identifies the entire purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. "You will be my witnesses." You'll be my witnesses. Oh, there are more words to it because it talks about where and how. But our purpose is to be his witnesses in ways that transform people around us, to hear the good news, to experience the good news, to be changed by that good news of Jesus Christ. And our purpose, we're to be his witnesses. One verse, one purpose. Everything we do as a church, we have to do in light of that. If we do anything else, it doesn't feed that one purpose. We have to look carefully at what we're doing to make sure we aren't diverting resources, giving in to distractions, losing where that should fit in some kind of organizational vision of who we're called to be. Does that mean that we become one-dimensional? No. Does it mean that we become hardened disciples, you know, that kind that just are lean and mean and are always running and never smiling and leaving everybody else behind? No. I've known people like that. And that doesn't seem to be accurate because Jesus was winsome in his witness of the kingdom. And our lives become transformed, and we're called to be winsome witnesses for him as well. That everything we do then, we track back, though, to that purpose. We are to be his witnesses. Our vision team process, which has been going on for almost a year and a half now, has spent considerable time in prayer and looking objectively at who Christ calls us to be as his church, and we've recommended to the church council that we change our congregation's mission statement to more clearly reflect that verse. We recommend we change the congregation's mission statement to what is actually the denomination's mission statement, and that is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In other words, to be his witnesses. Others are changed. And through all of us together, the world is changed. One person at a time, one system at a time. We're to be his witnesses. So how's this one purpose lived out? Well, it varies in the way it looks and sounds and feels from one context to another. You wouldn't be his witnesses in the same way in this community as you would be in a third world village out in the middle of the Amazonian rainforest. But in some ways, it might be easier to be his witnesses there than it is here because we can get so distracted. In the book of Acts, how they lived that out to be his witnesses was that they taught the gospel. The apostles taught the gospel. They studied, they prayed, they preached. They lived in community together. And they cared for the needs of their widows and their orphans. But the job wasn't the job of the apostles only. In fact, there came a time when the widows and orphans needed care, and there was some dissension over how that was going to be done. And the apostles said, it's not good for us to get involved in all that stuff. We want to stay at the focus so we can keep the mission, the focus. And they appointed deacons to do that. So the church as a whole, responsible for the church as a whole, to lift them up, to build them, and to be these witnesses within the community and beyond. John Wesley, in his time, would take the same issue of witnessing and say it like this, as he said to the clergy of the Methodist Church, his new movement back in the late, would have been 18th century. We have nothing to do with saved souls. John Wesley, we have nothing to do but save souls. Now that sounds like it's a church living out somewhere in a corner and not engaging in the world. That isn't true. John Wesley is one of the most dramatic social reformers of his century. But he saw all those things that they were doing as part of changing and saving the lives of people. If we take the same issue then for us, how do we live out this one single purpose to be witnesses of Jesus Christ? We do it in a lot of the same ways as the Church of Acts did. We preach the gospel. We teach that in Christian living. We come together in community, although I don't think our community even is just even a shadow of what the community was at that point, because we gather and then we leave, and we gather and we leave, and we're apart more than we are together. Not necessarily that life's bad that way, but we don't root deeply that way. And we care for the needs of other people around us in any way that we're able to do that. And we do that pretty well overall. Our call, though, is to be ruthless in our determination not to be caught up in the distractions and make sure that what we're doing serves the purpose. But if we're going to do this well as a church, to witness who Christ is in the world around us, we need to go one step further and understand the church is made up of each one of us as individual disciples of Jesus Christ. Each of us then comprise the church. If our church is to have one mission, one purpose, then we as disciples must understand that we ourselves, each of us, have one purpose as disciples of Jesus Christ. We must understand that as we have that significant purpose, we live it out through our lives to help carry out the purpose of the church as a whole together. I want to ask you a question you may never seriously have considered before. Even in an age where every organization and its sister has a mission statement, do you have a personal mission statement? Do you have a personal mission statement? Can you name what you value, who you believe you're called to be, and what you're called to do as a disciple of Jesus Christ? I would invite you, if you're willing to do a little bit of homework this week, to do something that I think can make an impact on how you live your life as a disciple and how we live our lives as a church together. Take a little bit of time when there's some quiet, whether that's between appointments or waiting to pick up kids at whatever the sport of the day happens to be, or lunch hour, or getting up before anybody else does, or staying up when it finally gets quiet. Of course, I do that, I fall asleep. Finding some time this week to sit down and try to write your own personal mission statement. Put in there what it is you believe you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to live, the priorities that you value in terms of who you are as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Take a chance and write that out. And then look at it when you're done and see if your life as you live it day by day in some any way measures to that mission statement. If it doesn't, ask why. Sometimes it's because of distractions, because I tell you, it is all I can do some days to get from the first time I wake up in the morning to the time I hit the sack at night, just to get through the day. I keep a list of to-do things on my desk to keep me aware of what I got to get done, but then I have 100 more that I could add to it because they come up along the way. In fact, some weeks I add them so I can check them off. What's your personal mission statement? And how will your mission statement impact, shape your relationships, your priorities, and your witness for Christ where you are? I said the sermon this morning is brought to you by the word purpose. My job today was to set up this whole series and to begin there. Where do you begin without beginning with purpose? We'll go on next week to power. But we need to know where we're going before we start the engine to take off. Claude Alexander, Bishop of the Park Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, urged Christians from all walks of life to step up into our own purposes. Here's how he puts it. There are questions that beg to be answered. There are dilemmas to be overcome. There are gaps to be filled, and the challenge is for you to fill them. That's the essence of the high calling of spiritual leadership. There is a purpose for your being here. You're meant to answer something, solve something, provide something, lead something, discover something, compose something, write something, say something, translate something, interpret something, sing something, create something, teach something, preach something, bear something, overcome something, and in doing so, you improve the lives of others under the power of God for the glory of God. And I believe he's right. There is a purpose for your being here. A purpose God's given you to do and not just to be served. I said this morning that our purpose is not to come and to be fed, entertained. It's come to give our gifts ourselves to God. In the process, he will bless us, feed us in every way. But our purpose is to give ourselves, to serve with our lives. And as we focus on how that happens in our lives with our personal mission statements, I want to close with this. Some of you may remember the name Richard Halverson, former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, also pastor of Fourth Presbyterian in Bethesda, Maryland. For many years, he closed each service or message that he preached with this benediction. It reflects his deep conviction that his church wasn't only where the congregation met on Sundays, but it was each place where they lived and worked throughout the week. And here's that benediction. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being right where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of his Spirit, wants to do something in and through you. Believe this and go in his grace, his love, his power to fulfill his purpose. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.